as her unnatural push shattered the door she'd used as an anchor. She was thrown forward with a terrible burst of speed like an arrow released from a bow. She approached her opponent with awesome speed. And found nothing. Vin cursed, turning her tin back on. She couldn't leave it on while burning Duralumin, otherwise her tin would burn away in a single flash, leaving her blinded. But she'd effectively done the same thing by turning it off. She pulled herself down from her Duralumin push to land maladroitly atop a nearby roof. She crouched as she scanned the misty air. Where did you go, she thought, burning bronze, trusting in her innate, yet still unexplained ability to pierce copper clouds to reveal her opponent. No Allomancer could hide from Vin unless he completely turned off his metals. Which, apparently, this man had done. Again. This was the second time he'd eluded her. It bespoke a disquieting possibility. Vin had tried very hard to keep her ability to pierce copper clouds a secret. But it had been nearly 4 years since her discovery of it. Zane had known about it, and she couldn't know who else had guessed based on things she could do. Her secret could very well be out. Vin remained on that rooftop for a few moments, but knew she'd find nothing. A man clever enough to escape her at the exact moment when her tin was down would also be clever enough to remain hidden until she was gone. In fact, it made her wonder why he had let her see him in the first... Vin stood bolt upright, then downed a metal vial and pushed herself off the rooftop, jumping with a furious anxiety back toward the camp. She found the soldiers cleaning up the wreckage and bodies at the camp's perimeter. Elland was moving among them, calling out orders, congratulating the men, and generally letting himself be seen. Indeed, sight of his white-clothed form immediately brought Vin a sense of relief. She landed beside him. Elland, were you attacked? He glanced at her.
What, me? No, I'm fine.
Then the Allomancer wasn't sent to distract me from an attack on Elland, she thought, frowning. It had seemed so obvious. It... Elland pulled her aside, looking worried.
I'm fine, Vin. But there's something else. Something's happened.
What? Vin asked. Elland shook his head.
I think this all was just a distraction. The entire attack on the camp.
But if they weren't after you, Vin said, and they weren't after our supplies, then what was there to distract us from?
Elland met her eyes. The Kolos.
How did we miss this? Vin asked, sounding frustrated. Elland stood with a troop of soldiers on a plateau, waiting as Vin and Ham inspected the burned siege equipment. Down below, he could see Fadrick's city and his own army camped outside it. The mists had retreated a short time ago. It was disturbing that from this distance he couldn't even make out the canal. The falling ash had darkened its waters and covered the landscape to the point that everything just looked black. At the base of the plateau's cliffs lay the remnants of their Kolos army. 20,000 had become 10,000 in a few brief moments as a well-laid trap had rained down destruction on the beasts while Ellen's troops were distracted. The day mists had kept his men from seeing what was going on until it was too late. Elland himself had felt the deaths, but had misinterpreted them as Kolos sensing the battle.
"Caves in the back of those cliffs," Ham said, poking at a bit of charred wood. "Yeoman probably had the trebuchets stored in the caves in anticipation of our arrival, though I'd guess they were originally being built for an assault on Luthadel. Either way, this plateau was a perfect staging area for a barrage. I'd say Yeoman set them up here intending to attack our army, but when we camped the Kolos just beneath the plateau..."
Elland could still hear the screams in his head. The Kolos, full of bloodlust and frothing to fight, yet unable to attack their enemies, which were high atop the plateau. The falling rocks had done a lot of damage, and then the creatures had slipped away from him. Their frustration had been too powerful, and for a time he hadn't been able to keep them from turning on each other. Most of the deaths had come as the Kolos attacked each other. Roughly one of every two had died as they had paired off and killed each other. I lost control of them, he thought. It had only been for a short while, and it had only happened because they hadn't been able to get at their enemies. However, it set a dangerous precedent. Vin, frustrated, kicked a large chunk of burned wood, sending it tumbling down the side of the plateau.
This was a very well-planned attack, Al, Ham said, speaking in a soft voice. Yeoman must have seen us sending out extra patrols in the mornings and correctly guessed that we were expecting an attack during those hours. So he gave us one, then hit us where we should have been the strongest.
It cost him a lot, though, Elland said. He had to burn his own siege equipment to keep it away from us, and he has to have lost hundreds of soldiers, plus their mounts, in the attack on our camp.
True, Ham said. But would you trade a couple dozen siege weapons and 500 men for 10,000 kolos? Plus, Yeoman has to be worried about keeping that cavalry mobile. A survivor only knows where he got enough grain to feed those horses, as long as he did. Better for him to strike now and lose them in battle than to have them starve.
Elland nodded slowly. This makes things more difficult, with 10,000 fewer kolos. Suddenly, the forces were much more evenly matched. Elland could maintain his siege, but storming the city would be far more risky. He sighed.
We shouldn't have left the kolos so far outside of the main camp. We'll have to move them in.
Ham didn't seem to like that.
They're not dangerous, Elland said. Vin and I can control them.
Mostly. Ham shrugged. He moved back through the smoking wreckage, preparing to send messengers. Elland walked forward, approaching Vin, who stood at the very edge of the cliff. Being up so high still made him a bit uncomfortable, yet she barely even noticed the sheer drop in front of her.
I should have been able to help you regain control of them, she said quietly, staring out into the distance. Yeoman distracted me.
He distracted us all, Elland said. I felt the kolos in my head, but even so I couldn't figure out what was going on. I'd regained control of them by the time you got back, but by then a lot of them were dead.
Yeoman has a mistborn, Vin said.
You're sure?
Vin nodded.
One more thing, he thought.
He contained his frustration, however. His men needed to see him confident.
I'm giving 1,000 of the kolos to you, he said. We should have split them up earlier.
You're stronger, Vin said.
Not strong enough, apparently.
Vin sighed, then nodded.
Let me go down below.
They'd found that proximity helped with taking control of kolos.
I'll pull off a section of 1,000 or so, then let go. Be ready to grab them as soon as I do.
Vin nodded, then stepped off the side of the plateau.
I should have realized that I was getting caught up in the excitement of the fighting,
Vin thought as she fell through the air.